Why is it most kids, if not vastly most, are better behaved for other people than for their parents? Why is that? Now, there are certain obvious answers that we all know, and I'm going to cite those just to show you that I am even aware of the obvious answers. But we're going to talk a little bit more about subtleties. I mean, we can't just have you listening to me saying, well, I could have said that. You got to get something for your money's worth, which is basically nothing. You're not paying for any of this. Actually, you're supporting the station, so you are paying. Indirectly. But my percentage of it is really only 8 or 10 cents, and hopefully I'll give you more than that. First of all, you've got the familiarity factor. You know that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, may not breed contempt, but in a kid's case, familiarity does breed pushiness. I know you. I'm around you. I am aware of your weak spots, your weak points, your subtleties, your inconsistencies, your tolerance level. I push. Okay, that's an obvious one. Kids know parents more than they know anybody else. So being kids, being unsocialized, they're more likely to do unsocialized things around parents. Two, raw time. Even though parents don't spend all that much time with kids as they should, they still spend an awful lot compared to most other folks on a regular basis. So, obviously, you're around somebody more, you're going to see their bad side more. Simple. The rule of life. Three, security factor. Kids feel secure with parents. Parents aren't going to reject them. Parents aren't going to kick them out, at least until they're 11 or 12. So, they are more emboldened, more lazy, if you will, in trying to restrain themselves, and they just do these kinds of things. Now, those are some of the obvious ones. I want to get into the more subtleties. Why is it that kids do act more badlier for parents than they do for others? And by the way, how often is that the case? My estimate is 80 to 90% of the time. When I used to consult to the schools, and a teacher would tell me he or she was having trouble with a kid, and they had a parent conference. The parent said, he doesn't do any of this at home. This is the only place that he misbehaves. Teacher would ask me, Ray, what do you think of that? I would say, honestly, it's probably not true. Either the parent's standards are so low that they have to knife somebody before they think he's misbehaving, or they're oblivious, or they're just not telling you the truth. Now, there is a certain percentage of time, and it's a small percentage, and if I have time, I'll talk about that, that kids do act up for other people more than they act up for mom and dad. A permissive grandparent, a weak Sunday school CCD teacher, and they'll push on them. The neighbor lady babysitter who has no standards and the kids really push, and they never try that with mom or dad. But I will tell you when that's more likely to occur, since I'm digressing already. That is more likely to occur when the kid is a better behaved kid. A kid who is pretty well behaved for mom and dad and is growing up to be, ever so slowly, a great person, is more likely to push on someone with weaker discipline standards because they're a kid and they haven't really yet developed the self-control to be good for all people, no matter how strong or weak they are. But getting back to this whole idea that kids mistreat parents more than they mistreat anybody else, there's a certain irony here. Now, let's think about this a second. A teacher. For most kids, a teacher is the adult that they see second most to their parents. And at sometimes during the year, more most than their parents. Why are the vast majority of kids better behaved for teachers? If you look at the reality of the whole thing, teachers have a fraction of a parent's authority. Truly, they do. They can't do much. Oh, they can, you know, maybe a detention or put your head down at your desk. I'll take 5 recesses away. Ooh, I'll make you sit in the chair. Oh, I'm taking that sticker away. Ooh, I'm scared. A parent has maximum authority. Parents' authority dwarfs the authority of a teacher. A parent can just about restructure the whole environment. If you want to put green beans in front of your kid instead of fried chicken and pizza, you can. So why is it? What is it about a teacher who has 23 other kids also, by the way, that the kids behave better for them. I submit to you it's perception. It's perception. The kid perceives that the teacher is willing to assert authority, however limited that is, and will do so. I also believe that most kids are not aware of how little authority a teacher really has. Once you get a kid aware of how little authority a teacher really has, and this is where I saw a lot of my worst behavior problems, look out. Look out! Kid knows the teacher can't do much of anything. Once he or she knows that, oh, they're very emboldened. Parents will take comfort in the fact that the kid behaves well for other people. Routinely, I'll hear something like, well, I must be doing something right. You know, he gives me a lot of grief, but for other people, he does real well. They love having him over here. They say he's one of the nicest kids they've had. He can babysit any time here. That's right. His aunt says, oh, gosh, you're doing a wonderful job with him because he's such a polite young man. This is generally the case with kids who are being raised well. Kids who are being raised well because they live in stable, loving homes, because they live in homes with solid marriages, because they live in homes that are seeking of God, they're by and large internalizing a moral system. And even when the discipline is weak in that home, and I'll tell you, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of very good homes in pretty much all other respects except they're pathetic in discipline. But even at that, the kid still manages to incorporate a moral system at some level. Those kids generally behave well out in public for other folks, coaches, scout leaders, kids club leaders, CCD teachers. They behave well, even though they give the parent grief. And the parent says, well, something must be getting in because he knows how to behave. Don't take too much consolation in that. For this reason, how he treats a mother or a father is so important that in the Old Testament, if you mouthed off to a parent in public, you were in big trouble. You could have got yourself seriously killed. Also, honor thy father and mother is something God thinks is so important, he made it a commandment. He really did. He flat out named you in a commandment. Your name is there. He didn't say honor thy teacher, although that's part and parcel of that commandment. But if we're talking name recognition, God gave it to you. Also, how a kid interacts toward parents really shapes a lot of things. Gratitude? Think about this. Look at what the average mother does for a kid. Never again in that child's life will any other human being give so much, so freely, so sacrificially to him. Ever! He needs to learn to appreciate that. He needs to learn to recognize that that person is truly to be valued and respected. And if we hang back and say, well, you know, I know he doesn't treat me very well. You should see the way he looks at me and the way he talks at me and the way he argues with me. But everybody else thinks he's okay. So I guess that's like 19 adults think he's okay and one adult, me, who thinks he's troublesome. Yeah, but you're the critical adult. You're the main adult. In fact, you're probably, in terms of importance, like more important than all the other adults combined. Why do we accept that kids are going to mistreat us or be more difficult for us than they are for other people? Partly because everybody says that's the way it is, including me. I'm saying it. So we say, well, that's reality. You got to accept reality. A certain amount of that's true. But I submit to you, we allow a lot more of that reality than we should allow. I think we're doing our kids a great favor by forcing them, mandating under penalty of consequence, to treat their mother or their father as well as they treat other people. Now, will they? Probably not. But let's not make the discrepancy so big, huh? it's one thing to say, yeah, if my kid's going to roll her eyes, she's probably going to roll them at me. I haven't really seen her roll them at too many other people. Okay. But it's quite another to say, ooh, wow, I'm glad nobody sees the way she talks to me. Nobody sees the fit she throws. Nobody sees the arguing tone of voice, the obnoxious slamming of the body that she does. Glad nobody else sees that. They just think she's a real jerk. Let's not make the discrepancy so big. One other point. I think the ideal is that they treat you as good as they treat anybody else. That's quite an achievement, you know. Because as much as they're around you, as much as you interact with them, and here's the other big one. Here's the other big one. You ask things of them. Most people don't make them do chores. Most people don't monitor their homework. Most people don't make them treat their brother right. You're the one that makes them do a lot of things they don't want to do, or not do things they do want to do. You're the one. And therefore, it's more likely you'll get their wrath or their resistance when you're doing these things as a good parent should. I understand. However, it is one thing to be unhappy with the way your mom and dad are putting requirements on you. Totally, humanly understandable. It is quite another to mistreat a mom or a dad, or to give them a lot of unpleasant, grating, conflictual resistance because mom and dad are trying to do what is right by you and you don't understand it when you're 9, 12, and 15. So, my advice, work hard so that when people say to you, he is the nicest young man, you are doing a heck of a job, you can say in your own mind, you don't have to say it out loud because it seems kind of prideful, in your own mind you can say, he really is. And he treats me that way too. You don't have to think to yourself, well, you don't live with him. I guess you only see him short periods of time. You don't know what I have to deal with. No. If you're saying that, the change has to occur in you. Don't look at the kid and say, he's a Jekyll Hyde. He's wonderful to everybody else, but he mistreats me. Take that as a sign that you now need to look at the way you're allowing this child to behave so that the difference between the way that kid treats everyone else and the way he treats you is not much. And we should talk about this with husbands and wives too, but maybe that's another time.